Good evening, boys. Hey, John, how are you, buddy? You okay?
I'm good, Dan. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, how's things been, buddy?
Workouts are going well. I had to cut back a little bit because our dog is 15 and a half, has a heart 3 times the size of normal, isn't on diuretics. So I need to make sure that I'm home for extended periods of time to give my partner time to
Yeah.
sleep.
Yeah, I can imagine having it being in love with my dog, mate. I can imagine it's a difficult time. Kind of give me my dog over most humans any day of the week. So I'm sorry to hear that, buddy.
Well, she's 15 and a half. We've had her
Yeah.
since she was 2 months.
Oh, bless her.
It's the longest.
Good old age, isn't it?
It is.
Good old age, good old age. TK, Chris Menchacha, I'm happy to see you, mate. You stuck to your word. Good to see you on here, buddy. How's TK? You okay, buddy?
Oh, good set. Oh, good set. Thank you.
How was your session with the big man on Saturday? Did you put him to the sword?
He was flexing on us.
Was he? That doesn't sound like Gav at all, mate. Trying to flex on him because he's put on a little bit of muscle recently. Hey, Sean, I know you're not on camera, mate, but great to have you here. I haven't seen you on here before, mate. Great to meet you. Well,
Yes, sir. I'm doing well. This is my first call I didn't make last week.
it's amazing, amazing. Welcome, welcome. So I would like to say you've picked the best call to come on first. I'm gonna rate myself, but all the other guys are awesome as well. But great to have you here, buddy. So
Thank
we'll
you, sir.
just give it another minute or so, guys, before we kind of kick off. But just before we get started, Ben's asked me to mention, so some of you may have heard his podcast with Sean on Monday. If you haven't, you've probably received email from Ben recently around kind of focus and kind of what he uses for his focus. And a lot of people have been asking. I've had a few messages asking specifically about methylene blue and Troscription's Just Blue, which was mentioned on the podcast, but it's a brand that Ben knows really well and uses. I know he's mentioned experimenting with methylene blue recently, and his take is typically it's a useful tool for certain days, especially when you want a cleaner focus, less reliance on kind of other stimulants, i.e. coffee, pre-workouts, and just to give you a little bit more get up and go for work or training or whatever you're doing first thing in the morning. So in our opinion, it's not everything that everyone it's not something that everyone needs, and it's definitely not a replacement for the stuff you hear me talk about frequently in regards to sleep, nutrition, training, and light exposure. But if you are curious and you wanted to try, I know Troscriptions have got an offer on at the moment, but what they it's typically it's really only on Black Friday, but they've extended the offer after the podcast with Ben that Ben released with Sean on Monday. And they've given our group an extra 20% offer this week. So if you did want to take advantage of that, the code, as always, is muscle20, and that's just on troscriptions.com. I'd say, just as a caveat to that, just be smart with it. So, like with anything, always start low, read all the contraindications to it, and don't, whatever you do, don't use it if you're on things like SSRIs, MAIOs, or G6PD, or you have. From your genetics, a G6PD deficiency, unless you're working with a practitioner or you've spoken to Greg about it. But Ben's just asked me to mention that prior to starting today, if that's something that you guys want to take advantage of. As I said, the offer's on till I think end of play Friday. It must be end of play Friday Eastern time. So if you do, it's just muscle 20 at the checkout at troscriptions.com. So today, as you guys have already seen the title, we're going to be talking a little bit about staying on protocol when you leave home. So I know this is a subject me and Chris have spoke about. I know TK travels a lot, kind of. So hopefully you guys will find some. I'll go my usual route in regards to presenting a little bit of a presentation, but as I've with Sean and obviously Robert's just joined. I haven't seen Robert on the calls before. Just to let you guys know. I will run a slideshow, but if you do have any questions at any point during my speaking, because I won't have you directly on screen, just unmute yourself and ask a question. I'll give you guys room for questions at the end. But ultimately, kind of how I run it here is if you have got any questions, I don't want you to wait. I don't want you to kind of think, well, I'll save them to the end and forget. Ask, because the most important thing with questions, guys, is if you're thinking it, you can be damn sure somebody else on the call or listening to the recording is going to be thinking it as well. So with the community element, kind of a lot of the similar FAQs and those sort of things come up. So if you do have any questions, just unmute yourself and kind of ask away. I do tend to get into a flow where I'm British, for those of you guys that didn't know, but I get in a flow and speak really quickly. So just unmute yourself and ask a question. So moving into today, if I get this all loaded up, so just give me a second while I share my screen. There we go. So can everybody see that? Chris, just give me the thumbs up because I can see you. Yeah, good. Right, guys. So as we've said, today is staying on protocol when you leave home. So for me, kind of this is an important point because for a lot of you guys, you travel. So it's not specifically for travel. One thing I notice very frequently with a lot of my guys at start is there's a stark difference between weekdays and weekends. Okay, so this is designed to kind of give you a strategy for not just those that travel on business or spend weekends away, also when you're at home, because we know circumstances, routines, and those sort of things change from Monday to Friday if you've got a Monday to Friday job, and then Saturday and Sunday when the weekend. So hopefully there'll be a few things in here that be of relevance to yourself, but give you a little bit of a strategy on how to cope with those. So essentially, how we'll start it is most men, in my experience, typically lose momentum. It's not that they kind of essentially struggle or they decide when they leave home that everything's going to go to pot. They just struggle with momentum because it's down to structure. And those of you guys that have heard me speak before, I'm a creature of habit when it comes to structure and kind of setting operating systems and just knowing that kind of there's going to be a multitude of operating systems within your remit. So we can't operate the same as if you were at home, kind of waking up and going to sleep at home and working from home. The same applies if you go into the office. The same applies if you have a job that requires you to be on the road. We're going to need a multitude of operating systems or familiarity to lean into unconsciously when these things happen. So for me, people typically don't choose to kind of deviate from a plan when they're away from home. They just lose structure. So what people typically have, and most men have a routine that works. So same wake up time, same kitchen, same gym, same schedule, same environment. Then they get thrown into the matrix and they have a bit of traveling laid or the weekend hits where that changes. The biggest things that typically happen is things like sleep becoming inconsistent, meal timing changes, food quality inevitably drops when there's not the food quality or the stuff in the fridge or the freezer that you've got. Stress will typically increase. In some cases, alcohol increases. And after all those eventualities, then training typically becomes unpredictable. And essentially how I like to categorize this is the biggest mistake or the biggest faux pas in this is most people treat travel as a break from their standards. Okay. And those of you guys that have heard me speak before, and those of you guys that are new, I'm a stickler for standards and identity and just living your life 24/7 as though you're the man that you want to become. But the reality of the situation when you travel is your body doesn't really care whether you're on vacation, at a conference, visiting family, traveling for work, you've got a busy weekend with the family as such, in regards to if you've got children, your physiology is still going to respond the same. Okay. So it's still going to respond to sleep, nutrition, stress, movement, and recovery. So my question to those of you that are listening to this that are bearing relevance to this first slide is, who do you become when your routine disappears? So for me, I've spoke previously when I've looked at the brain and those sort of things that just relying on discipline can only work for so long, because inevitably stress and kind of allostatic load is going to increase. And when that happens, typically the first thing that goes is discipline. So the question kind of for me is, when you are traveling, who do you become? And are you a fragment of the kind of consistency that you created when you're at home? And that's essentially, for me, the real measure of your habits. So in reality, transformation isn't built during ideal weeks. And Chris will Chris will smile at this, is I always often say to him, with my clients, if everybody's doing everything right, thumbs up, well done, keep going. Okay, my value is still high, but it's not as high. Okay. Typically, you yield the most. And me and Chris spoke about this morning with this session because he was a little bit more tired this morning. I didn't want to get up. Okay. Essentially, your transformation as such is going to be built during the challenging weeks and the things that you're away. So for me, it's important that we build a structure and we have a core base of non-negotiables that you flip into when things like travel and kind of disruption happens. So the travel stress response for me is big. Those of you guys know that I'm a big proponent of stress and understanding stress. And the last kind of talk that I did was talking all about kind of that stress bucket and becoming a little bit more stress resilient. It's not reducing stress because life is stress. Everything in life has a relative stress response, but it's being able to improve the resilience of stress and building a bigger bucket. Okay. Everything is typically going to feel harder away from home because you haven't got those home comforts. If you are a creature of habit like me, kind of being thrown into the proverbial lion's den is always a little bit more difficult because it feels like you haven't got as much control or autonomy because you're not in a familiar environment. Travel can also cause multiple forms of stress simultaneously. So you'll see on the slide there, physical stress. So if you catch flights, if you're sitting for long periods, if you are traveling time zones and you're kind of not able to sleep on a plane or kind of you're just having a poor sleep in total, things like dehydration, water is one of the biggest things that goes typically when people are out of their comfort zone because it's not within eyesight or eye shot. So for me, kind of is a few kind of things that are familiar with that kind of exacerbate that stress response when you are traveling and you're away from home. We have the mental stress. So when you've got wall-to-wall meetings, which those of you that travel for business typically will have, you have family obligations like kids' sports and all those sort of things, kind of they all play into the continuum of increasing stress because you lose a little bit more control if you're at the baseball field for the day, or you're kind of doing something out of the ordinary on a weekend and you're away from the house or familiar meals for a long period of time. You get decision fatigue. And ultimately, kind of busy schedules are all going to create an element of mental stress. And then we have the environmental aspect, which is different food, different restaurants, different places to eat, a different bed. I once trained a very well-known cyclist that basically he, when Great Britain won all the gold medals in the 2012 Olympics with cycling, he was a head honcho of that. And I had the luxury of training. He became a friend after a while. And he used to tell me, because he used to work for Team Sky, which is Team Ineos, and it's changed again, I think now, on the Tour de France. And he said to me, he basically created the marginal gain series, so that 1% better. And I used to speak to him. His name was Dave Brailsford. And I used to speak to him and say kind of like, what did you familiar things did you do for the riders on the Tour de France? And he would say that in every truck where the rider slept, he would recreate their bedroom. So the same mattress, same blinds, same bedding, same bedside tables, just because he found over his time working with the team, it created a more harmonious atmosphere and kind of their ability to get deep and REM sleep massively increased when there was a familiarity of their own bed. So just something like a different bed can create environmental stress, different routines. So as we've said before, most people are already operating with a relatively full stress bucket of life. So when additional stress is added, performance declines and cravings are typically going to increase as well. So then we move into what happens physiologically. So we all know, and those of you guys that are new to these calls, we know that increased stress can contribute to things like elevated cortisol, increased hunger, poor decision-making when it comes to food, extra cravings, most importantly, reduced recovery. And for me, this isn't a discipline problem. It's a physiology problem. Okay, so the reality of it is stress is inevitable, but how do we minimize stress? And in the next few slides, we're going to talk about the things and the non-negotiables, the habits that you can put into place to ensure that things may not be perfect, but they're as close to as possible. And tip that I always say to most of my guys when they join the team is if we can provisionally try to make each work trip better than the last, you're making progress. So we're not looking for perfection. We're just looking for progress. So can we understand our limitations and see where we never fail, but we kind of moved off track, and can we improve that kind of on the next working trip and those sort of things. So the key for me is it's not eliminating stress. The goal is definitely building resiliency and making sure that we kind of reduce the unnecessary stresses more than anything. So moving into and tagging on to what I've just said. So what does matter most? Okay, so typically most men, in my opinion, kind of focus on the wrong thing. So when traveling, people, their first port of call is training. Okay, they're focused on missing supplements, not having the absolute perfect diet to the gram. Meanwhile, what they're typically doing is potentially sleeping 5 hours because the nights are a little bit later, indulging in a little bit more alcohol with kind of, because typically there'll be work-based meetings and those sort of things, eating randomly, not having a structure around meal timings and those sort of things. And the biggest one for me is expenditure. Unless you're kind of purposely kind of going on a holiday or a vacation where you are going to be touring islands and those sort of things, people typically only walk a fraction of the steps that they do. So you see 2,000 steps, 1,000 steps, because a lot of it's spent on a sun lounger, in an office, kind of in meetings. So they lose a lot of expenditure as well. Whereas in my opinion, the things that we should prioritize in this order, particularly, are these five things above. So first and foremost, sleep. So we know sleep can affect, or lack of sleep can affect things like testosterone, leptin and ghrelin, which are your hunger hormones, insulin sensitivity, recovery, energy, and most importantly, cognitive performance. So sleep quality has often been linked or influenced by things like light exposure, meal timing, exercise timing, temperature, and most importantly, stress management. So prioritizing sleep while you're out of your normal kind of routine is going to be super important. If it's a vacation, we know we can prioritize sleep because it is a vacation. But especially when you're staying in hotels and kind of work's a little bit busier, not being that guy that kind of is the last one to leave the meeting or leave the dinner and those sort of things is going to be important. So first and foremost, prioritizing sleep. Then we have protein. So we know protein's role primarily protecting muscle, maintaining satiety, and controlling cravings. So I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but the things you can do is take some protein powder with you, take some protein-based snacks so that if you are in a bit of a deficit during the day or you've got them with you to hand, they're easy to snack on and easy to kind of utilize to make sure that that protein content stays up a little bit as well. Then movement. Okay, so we know movement helps blood sugar regulation, recovery, digestion, stress management. So notice what we're seeing here. All these things are kind of managing the most important things for when we're traveling. Okay, and movement's going important. Your body doesn't discriminate. So movement from a composition standpoint or just from the things that I've mentioned above are going to be super important. So getting plenty of movement in while you're up. Okay, so it might be a little walk in the morning if you're not training. It may be walks at lunch in between your meetings and an evening before you go and meet your colleagues for a business dinner. There is options if you decide to take them in regards to getting more movement in while you're traveling and while things are away. Then we have hydration. So we know that every single cell in a human body and every action in a human body requires an element of hydration, even down to peristalsis, which is obviously the digestive component that kind of is almost like a mechanical pump that pumps food down through the small and large intestine. So every cell also requires hydration. And as I've said, when it's not front and center on your desk or kind of in front of you at home, typically that's one thing that people miss. It's very rare you'll see me without a bottle of water in my hands, just because if it's one thing from a, let's say, a nutritional strategy alongside protein, is making sure that hydration stays as high as possible, because we know even mild hydration can affect energy, focus, strength, and things like recovery. Obviously, with the addition of a few electrolytes first thing in the morning, which I hope you guys are all doing at the moment, is going to have a massive effect in kind of hydrating the system and getting you ready for the day's activities and be clear, give you clarity and be able to make the correct decisions. And then fifth on the list, surprisingly, probably for you guys, is training. Okay, training does matter and keeping in the continuum, but sometimes you're traveling, there's not a gym available. Sometimes it'll be a very small gym, which we as coaches will manipulate to kind of give you a workout, whatever that looks like. But for me, training is only, and it only matters and is important if everything above is not failing. So if you're not sleeping, you're not getting adequate protein, you're not getting adequate movement, and you're not getting adequate hydration, then we know that training is, you're not going to get the full effects of training, because we know what is training. Training is designed to be an acute stressor. So if you're not doing everything upstream of those, of that last point of training, then we know that the body's going to be stressed, and all you're going to do is exacerbate that by training on top of that. So for me, it's very much focusing on maintaining the fundamentals and not maximizing the details. So if we kind of keep that order in mind as a kind of little bit of a recap to kind of where we should be doing, and just making sure that they become, I'm going to talk to you about non-negotiables as we go through this, and you'll hear a lot of similar things. But the most important thing for me is we prioritize kind of what matters most. People typically think it's training, but a training session is only as good as things like your recovery, your hydration, and those sort of things. Okay. So we now move into nutrition. So we've said already how important protein is. Okay. I like to operate with my guys that travel with a protein first strategy, because as in the previous slide, we've said that kind of protein decreases satiety. So it keeps you fuller for longer. And ultimately, it's a building block of everything we're trying to achieve to maintain progress as we move along. But the goal, as I said in the second part of that first sentence, is the goal is not perfection. It's just ensuring you're as close to the design goals as possible. And there is protein available. If you are going to be in a deficit, as I said, there's certain things that we can utilize to bring in to ensure that we kind of up that protein. A rule of thumb is, as we've always says, I'm a big believer in kind of 2.2 grams of protein per pound as a minimum for most males. And we know in 2 or 3 square meals in a hotel, for instance, you're not really going to get that. So we have to be smart around making sure we take protein powder with us. It might be beef jerky, or it may be sourcing once we get there, which I'll give you a tip on in a little bit, how best to kind of maximize kind of your protein. Okay, so that's the question that I would like you to ask yourself when you are away, when you're traveling, is the first question you ask yourself when you sit down to eat is, where is my protein? So examples that are very easy to get to, I always say when traveling, if you do stay in hotels a lot, eggs is a great one. Eggs are everywhere, and kind of don't be afraid to overeat eggs when you start the day. Okay, things like protein shakes are great, Greek yogurt, and then you've got all your lean proteins as well. So I'm a big believer when traveling, kind of from to reduce satiety and kind of keep you fuller for longer, I like to operate with more of a protein and fat breakfast, because we know that kind of that's going to keep you a little bit fuller for longer. You're not going to get a significant kind of blood sugar spike. So you're not going to crash mid-morning. You're not going to get that lethargy and tiredness. So I'm old school when it comes to breakfasts. When you're at home, but also when you're traveling, have a nice big plate of good protein, good fats. If you wanted to utilize a few carbohydrates, I'm not mad at fructose, obviously having a little bit of fruit, which is always available in hotels, but make sure it's very protein dense as your breakfast, because that will set you up during the day. I'm also a big fan of kind of minimizing carbohydrates, depending on where you are at in the continuum, kind of minimizing carbohydrates for the first couple of meals of the day. So opting for kind of a protein-based lunch and those sort of things. What I want you guys to remember as well is, if you are dining out in restaurants, or you are kind of in a hotel for lunch, for instance, and you're ordering food, don't be afraid to ask for double chicken. Those of you guys that have been to the camps and been out to Costa Rica, you've seen kind of, we double, triple up the eggs in the morning. We double up protein if we're out for evening meals and those sort of things. And we ask for double of everything. And that's not because we're greedy. Well, we are greedy and big eaters, but most importantly, we know how important protein is. So don't be that guy that is shy to ask for a double serving of protein. at the end of the day, you're the customer, and the customer's always right. It's very rare you'll hear a restaurant kind of refuse you extra protein if you want it, because we know we're not going to get too much in a simple lunch or evening meal. So by, yes, if you're going out for a big steak, that's different. But if you are opting for kind of a lighter or a leaner protein, don't be afraid to double that up as well. And that's going to get you a nice large chunk of potentially upwards of 50 grams of protein alongside everything else you've been doing over the day will essentially get you to your quota. And kind of moving into a restaurant formula. So I've got a few bits in a second around restaurants. So I've got a few prompts because I like to use AI with my guys. But if you are ordering in from a restaurant, I would advise you guys to order in the following sequence. So you order protein first, you order vegetables, and look at your fiber intake second, which again is going to help from a filling you up perspective, and then carbohydrates if needed. Okay, so if you wanted to use examples, things like steak and vegetables, salmon and vegetables, again, good quality protein and high protein in small amounts or small volumes of food. You've got your fats in there as well, and then you've got your vegetables from a kind of fiber perspective. If, for instance, there was only a burger available, I'd opt for something like a burger and a salad. So because you've got the carbohydrates within the burger, I wouldn't add any extra kind of carbohydrates onto there, but I'd have maybe a fat-based salad, so a Mediterranean salad or something of that ilk there. And if you get the option, then you obviously can opt for something simple like chicken, rice, and vegetables. So there's no right or wrong when ordering at a restaurant. The most important thing for me is kind of you select protein first, and then logistically looking at a menu, you choose what is closest to your goals. And the newer guys, obviously, you will learn all this, but ultimately, kind of for the guys that have been in beer for a while, I'm a big believer when it comes to food. Okay, there's no right or wrong food. There's no good or bad food. For me, let's stop bastardizing food and kind of creating an emotional dissonance with kind of food itself. There's no such thing as right or wrong, good or bad. There's food that's conducive to your goal, and this food that's non-conducive to your goal. And that applies no matter where you are in the world. And you guys ultimately all know what food serves you and what food doesn't serve you. So what food is conducive, what food is not conducive. And it's not always going to be perfect, but as long as you choose the foods most conducive to your goal, that's the most important thing. Going back to my point on the last slide, it doesn't have to be perfect. But if we can keep it as close to what you've spoken to with your coach, that's going to be the most important thing. Okay. And then lastly on there, we have the airport survival rule. Okay. I'm a big believer on never depending on the airport to support your goals. I've got a few, as I said, I've got a few AI prompts coming up shortly, kind of that I'm going to get put on the screen and allow you just to take a screenshot with your phone, which I think is going to massively help. But ultimately, kind of proteins are never awash with, especially the smaller airports, are never awash with great choices of food. There's a lot of fast food restaurants, which you can still get relatively healthy, but don't rely on that. Always be prepared. So myself, I know Ben does it as well, but myself, Greg and Gav, when we travel, it might be protein bars, it might be protein, it may be beef jerky, it may be nuts, but kind of our bags are always full of some sort of protein and fat derivative that kind of is, I wouldn't say 100% healthy, but subsidizes what we're looking to achieve. It's very rare, if never, that I personally have eaten plain food or just relied on what's on the plane, because we know I wouldn't say it's slop, but it's not the greatest of tasting the food. So go prepared and just don't leave it to chance. Okay. So kind of, as I said earlier, the things that we can travel with are potentially protein powder, beef jerky, protein bars, and most importantly, electrolytes. Electrolytes for what? Electrolytes for your water. So always have, and in the airport, buy one or two, depending on the length of a flight. Maybe it might be one, or it might be a 2-3 liter bottle of water. Make sure you get through that with the electrolytes to maintain hydration once you're up in the air as well. Or ultimately, you may be at a theme park. Okay, have a bottle of water with you, simply because hydration is going to be key. It's going to reduce satiety as well. So you're not going to feel as hungry and feel like your throat's been slit 3 hours into being away from home or not having a meal. So for me, within this, a prepared you know I love a word preparation. So a prepared men typically stay on protocol. If you fail to kind of stay on protocol, an unprepared man essentially is going to have to negotiate with hunger. And how many times when you're really, really hungry and you haven't got meal at hand, you make I'm going to say the wrong choice for the benefit of this point, but kind of the choice that doesn't serve your goals, this choice that's non-congruent. You're a human being, okay? And we're all the same. If you're really starving, you get the choice between a plate of broccoli and, for me personally, a cookie. I know what I'm choosing, and it certainly ain't the broccoli, it's the cookie, because I'm a bit of a cookie monster. So it's just not putting yourself in that position where you are hungry and you've got nothing at hand, or you've got nothing to choose. Because as I said, discipline will often go out the window, and it's a slippery slope. We don't want it to compound. Okay. It's inevitable. You may have one meal or one meal that's kind of non-congruent, but we don't allow it to bleed into two. It doesn't compound. And then before you know it, you've had a day of non-congruent meals, because that's where the kind of limitations are. And that's where people start to struggle a little bit. So for me, just be prepared, and ultimately don't leave anything to chance, because the minute you have to think, there is a kind of proportion of risk that you will make the wrong choice. And that's not because you're a bad person, you don't want to stick to plan, you don't care about your goals. It's none of that. It's just because you are human. And as I said, kind of the way the brain works, it will often go for, if it's not identity and discipline, kind of it'll often lead away. Once you've got it as a part of your identity, it's very easy to travel, because you know exactly what you're going for. Me, when I go to an airport, no matter where I'm going in the world, whether it's business, personal, I know kind of what I'm looking for and what I'm going to pick up. And it's just part of my identity now. If you guys are already there listening to this, amazing, great, just keep doing that. But those of you guys that are a little bit newer to this and struggle a little bit more when traveling, then this is a great way to look at it. So guys, the next few slides, I've put together a few prompts. So those of you guys that have spoken to me kind of know, again, the implementation of AI is big. And I found in particular, it helps massive with a lot of my guys. So kind of no matter where you are in the world, well, most places, you can use kind of, if you are using ChatGPT, you are using Perplexity or kind of, what's the other one, Claude, okay, you can prompt your AI agent to find you something to eat. So it's got that easy now, but you don't even have to think about it. So what I put together essentially is just a few prompts. So if you guys have got your phone at hand, or you can take a picture, you can watch this back and kind of take a photo of the next few slides. What I've done is put together a few prompts that you can just put into any of AI agents that essentially are going to kind of give you an insight into kind of how to operate. So the first one is if you are dining at a particular restaurant. So I'll just read them nice and slow, but while they're on screen, kind of you guys just kind of take a screenshot, but I'll read them for the benefit of the guys that are listening. So act as an expert macro coach. I'm currently eating at, in brackets, a restaurant name in brackets, a city. I'm looking for a meal that is approximately X protein, X grams of carbs, and X grams of fat. Here is a picture of a menu or a list of the three dishes that I'm considering. Again, you can insert items. Please analyze these options, estimate the macros for each, and tell me exactly how to modify one of them. Example, asking for sauce on the side, no cheese, to hit my exact targets. So going to a particular restaurant, you can use that as a prompt to just them to dial down. Obviously, lean into your coach first and foremost, which I look over menus with a lot of my guys, but just using AI to your advantage is going to be beneficial here. Then the next one, again, this is for if you're on the way. So kind of, or you are traveling and you've got kind of a day of traveling, or and you haven't really got time, or you don't know where you're dining, or you yet to choose where you're dining. So I'm traveling today in the city, enter the city. My macro targets for the day are X protein, X carbs, X fat. I plan to eat two meals out at restaurants and one meal in my hotel room. You can put your hotel room in there as well, or the hotel we're staying. Please design a day of eating that incorporates local cuisine. For the restaurant meals, give me realistic dishes to look for. And for the hotel, suggest simple, non-perishable snacks I can pack in my bag. So that takes care of everything that you need throughout the day to kind of sort out your relative macros as well. And then the last one, it was one that I particularly like finding and creating, is one for the airport. So I said, never leave anything to chance for an airport, but always getting ahead of the game is going to be important. So the last one's more base for airports. So if you are traveling to a particular airport, so act as a performance nutritionist. I'm traveling through airport name or three letter code. I'll be in terminal number and letter. I need a meal that fits my targets, X protein, X, Y carbs, Z fat. Identifies three specific restaurants, cafes, or grab and go spots. Currently operating this terminal. For each spot, give me one exact meal. If modifications are needed, i.e. no cheese, double chicken, state them clearly. Give me an estimated macro breakdown for that modified meal. Suggest one backup snack combination I can find at a standard airport convenience store. So it's, I think that says Hudson News or WH Smith's that's here in the UK, hit 30 grams of protein. So using AI to your advantage, I think, is very beneficial. And I found very beneficial for the guys that I have traveling, because it just allows them to lean on me and we can mutually, again, set everything up. But ultimately, without my knowledge of a particular city, a particular area or location, rather than my client having to kind of walk around a 1 mile radius and tell me all the restaurants are there, let AI do all the work for you, because it takes the stress out of everything. And remember the first slide, everything's about reducing stress. So by using and leveraging AI is going to be huge, just to allow you to kind of be able to curate your day. And remember, what we're trying to create is a skeleton operating system. Things might not necessarily go to plan, but going into a travel or a period away from your normal life, I think it leaves a little bit more to chance. So it's never going to be linear and things are going to be thrown into disruptive cycle, but leveraging things like AI and your agents to be able to kind of help you curate, so it takes the stress and the thinking out of it for you alongside your work with your coach, are going to be super important. So I put those in there just because I think they'll be helpful for a lot of you guys that travel. I know there's a few guys on this call that are already using these, but kind of I like to leverage that alongside kind of hand selecting from menus and those sort of things. But also, don't be afraid to send a menu to your coach. A few of my guys, when they're dining at particular restaurants or know where they're dining with, for instance, they're going for a business meeting with a boss, you can't choose where you're eating. You have to eat where they eat. So if that eventuality happens, throw a photo of a menu to your coach and say, right, this, similar to you would do with an AI agent, kind of, what would you select off this menu? And you start to then build reps in decision-making. You're not going to be expected to make the right decision on yourself straight away. So leaning on myself as your coach, but also the AI agents to help curate it while you get familiar, until it becomes part of your kind of operating system, but part of your identity as well, is going to be important. So I thought they'd be good points there. So moving into the next slide, we've got the hidden saboteurs when it comes to traveling. Again, you've seen sleep before, but obviously alcohol, and also I've put there all or nothing thinking. Okay, so for me, all or nothing thinking is a benefit with anybody doing this process, but it's not everything. It's knowing kind of when to implement or execute all or nothing thinking and when you have to kind of be able to pivot a little bit more, because the reality of your transformational journey or your journey with us here at MI is, it's never all going to be perfect. There is going to be spanners that are thrown into the rocks, spanners that are thrown into the works, and rocks that are going to be thrown in. So being able to pivot and be reactive, yes, it'd be great if everything was proactive and we can plan progressively for 6 months, but we know that things are going to happen. So all or nothing thinking in certain periods doesn't help, because it makes you one dimensional, which means that when you're thrown off that path, and I've had it with a client recently, you're thrown off a path once and then it compounds. So kind of just making sure we're able to pivot is important. So starting with alcohol's real cost. So typically most people think alcohol only adds calories, but as a rule of thumb, I read it somewhere once that the effects of alcohol are very detrimental to metabolism. So just a few drinks or a night on the alcohol can reduce your metabolism by upwards of again, broad stroke figure, around about 60%. So if your metabolism after a night on the beers is operating at 40%, kind of when that kind of ethanol or the alcohol kind of clears from your system, your metabolism doesn't just say, oh, the alcohol's cleared, so I'm going to ramp straight up to 100%. Metabolism doesn't work like that. It's going to take days and days to build back up. So I always say alcohol's effects, and I'm not total anti-alcohol. People have alcohol in, but just be aware of the consequences of alcohol on its kind of effects on things like metabolism. Okay, but what else, again, the big, I say the bigger issues, but the issues alongside that kind of lead to poor sleep quality, because we know that although you get to sleep straight away, the quality of sleep is always down. Those of you guys that wear any wearables, if you have a night on the alcohol, your recovery is less than 10% just because of the effects it's had on sleep. Okay, it could, again, increase appetite. Those of you guys that have ever been on a night on the beers, what's the last thing you want to do before you go to sleep is you want to go and eat a caloric meal. Okay, so it increases appetite, reduces recovery because of the factors in regards to kind of poor quality sleep and just restlessness, and also leads to going back to the point previously, kind of poor food choices. Okay, so it's just making sure that alcohol, again, I'm not total anti-alcohol, and I do very rarely drink, but I just know that the positives and the negatives with alcohol, the negatives far outweigh the positives. So for me, it's not telling you guys to all go teetotal, because with some people, it's part of certain aspects of their life. But minimizing it as much as possible would be my kind of 10 cents worth. Sleep deprivation itself creates cravings. So a lot of the research now is showing that kind of sleep restriction is going to massively increase hunger and appetite whilst reducing kind of the cognitive ability to kind of make decisions. Okay, so when you're, as I said a little bit ago, kind of when you're tired, it's very rare that you're craving kind of chicken and vegetables. You crave quickness, convenience, and the foods that are quicker to hand, it might be a takeaway. So kind of knowing and sleep restriction and kind of not getting enough quality sleep is going to lead to impaired decision making, and that's what we want to kind of avoid. Okay, so just making sure that sleep when you're traveling is going to be one of the, well, is the most, and it was number one on our kind of checklist of non-negotiables as well. And I put on there the biggest mindset trap, because those of you guys know I love psychology. Okay, everything's perception, right? So if something happens that goes untowards, what I don't want to happen is have a mindset of, oh, I've already screwed up, okay? Or one bad meal choice turns to, oh, God, I've ruined everything now, kind of. I'll just have to start when I get back. Or kind of, oh, the typical weekend warrior, they get to Friday, things have been perfect, and then they have a couple of extra bits on a Friday night, and kind of all hell breaks loose till Monday morning. Okay, everything's perception. How I categorize it with people is, if I've got my kind of meal plan and you've got four meals a day, times that by seven, so obviously that's 28 meals a week. Okay, you then have one bad meal. That means that you've had 27 meals that are bang on and one meal off. Percentage wise, it's what? 2-3% of your week, which means that you're 97-98% compliant. Has that ruined your week? No. So for what we want to get out of the mindset of, and kind of from a perception standpoint, is we don't want it to be one bad meal becomes a bad weekend, or kind of I haven't got the ability to choose, or there's nothing on the menu that I can eat that's congruent to my goals. Kind of being very honest with yourself is knowing that anywhere you are in the world, in any location, unless you're in a remote jungle area, you'll be able to find something that's congruent to your goals. You've just got to be strong enough as a decision maker and be strong enough and kind of be geared towards your goals that you can make those decisions, not initially off a whim. You have to work with your coach to kind of build that resilience and kind of build those operating systems. But eventually you'll be in a position where a lot of my guys fear going away because they know what's about to happen, but it's being progressively better every time you go away. And for me, going back to what I said a couple of slides ago, I've got a new rule for you guys, is never miss twice, okay? One poor choice is often a mistake, okay? We don't mean it to happen, it happens. That's life, okay? Things are thrown in to disrupt the system, okay? So never miss twice. One poor choice is a mistake. Two poor choices consecutively become a pattern. So whether it be training, whether it be nutrition, whether it be a poor sleep, whether it be lack of hydration, whatever it is, just never miss twice. It's okay to miss once. You're not going to derail everything that you've created over the previous kind of however many weeks, but make sure it doesn't become two. We don't compound it because then it becomes a pattern. And that's where kind of the dangerous kind of almost kind of the red zone is, where we don't want to be. Okay. For me, like kind of if we wanted to take away from that kind of new rule is, I always say the meal after the mistake matters more than the mistake itself. Okay. And it's kind of being able to get back into the flow as quick as possible when you fell out of a flow. It's inevitable that between now and the end of your life, if you want to extend it there, there's going to be parties, there's going to be birthday cake, there's going to be celebratory meals, there's going to be kind of loads of different things that come in where you eat off piece. Don't berate yourself for it, and you're not a bad person because you've chosen a burger and chips or a pizza. Okay, that doesn't make you a bad person. This is why I want to stop bastardizing food. We just take responsibility of what we've eaten and understand, yes, it's not congruent to our goal. So our expectations a day after eating a pizza is, yeah, there's going to be a bit more water weight and inflammation, but it's not derailed the progress. But making sure that you're kind of getting back on the proverbial horse as quick as possible is the single most important thing when it comes to that. So next is kind of the minimal effective dose. So these are those of you guys that use a tracker know that, well, I love a habit tracker and just making sure we've got that populated. So for me, these are the five things that I kind of adhere to when you're traveling, okay, to make sure and add into your habit tracker when you're tracking that when you're traveling to make sure that kind of things don't go too off piece. So as we said before, protein every meal, protect muscle, control hunger. Try to aim for 8 to 10,000 steps daily. Kind of movement is medicine. So early morning sunlight, set that circadian rhythm, all those sort of things are going to be important. So kind of 8 to 10,000 steps at morning sunlight, okay, to help with the energy. And most importantly, sleep quality. It might be taking an evening walk as well, doing a little bit of breathing and just calm that nervous system down. If you have had a stimulatory day, it may be lunchtime walks in between meeting walks, but get plenty of steps in where possible as well. Obviously, you guys know by now, morning light exposure is one of one of the strongest signals for regulating the body's internal clock, which is just that circadian rhythm. So I'm a big believer in walking once we wake and once we before bed. So kind of just spreading out throughout the day, because you're in control. Typically when you're traveling, you're in control of the mornings and the last part of your evenings. So it's going to help as well. This is more of a bonus kind of bonus non-negotiable, but going for a 10 to 20 minute walk after meals, you guys have heard Greg speak about it because of its benefit in regards to digestion, blood sugar management, recovery. But kind of even having your meals and going for a kind of 10, 20 minute walk after meal is going to help as well. Number four, we spoke about it already today, is hydration. As a target, for me personally, I'd always aim for 1 liter per 20 kilos of body weight. I know obviously you guys work in pounds. So if you can take half of your body weight in ounces daily, that's always a good amount. Again, don't forget to pack your electrolytes as well. Take plenty of electrolytes just to kind of allow your body to utilize the water effectively. So again, saturating those cells effectively are going to be super important. And then number five, obviously, although that's number one, this is just kind of a list of almost a list of habits that we can stick to, is get a consistent sleep schedule. Okay. It's again very apparent that consistent sleep and wake times overall are going to improve sleep quality, but most importantly, recovery while you're traveling as well. So there is, again, caveats to that. If you are changing time zones and you're all out of kilter, there's a way and protocols we can utilize to help stay as close to your normal routine as possible. But they're all kind of more individual stuff that you can work with your coach with anyway. But if you are kind of traveling to a multitude of different time zones, then just make sure you check in with your coach and they'll give you the optimal strategy for wherever you're moving to as well. And then the last slide today is just talking about more so the secret to staying consistent anyway. So it's all around identity. And the newer guys, once you hear me a few times, I talk a lot about psychology, perception, identity, and this doesn't stop here. So the key, again, the key to staying consistent anywhere is most people will typically focus on behavior, okay? Whereas successful people focus on identity. So when you are kind of traveling, I want you to just ask yourself this question. So instead of asking, what should I eat? Ask, what would the best version of myself, or what would be what would the optimal version of myself do in this situation? I've put there a nice broad stroke option of kind of what would a healthy, high performing man do in this situation. But I want you to go one step further than that. And I'd like you to actually say, what does the best version of myself that I want to be, kind of what would he do in this situation? And then operate that. So it's not a case of asking yourself a question because you already know the answer to that, because 9 times out of 10, you know what to do. You know what's congruent and what's not congruent. So ask yourself, what would the optimal or the best, that's subjective, but I'm just saying in regards to the goals that you have in hand, what would the best version of yourself do in this situation? Okay. And the difference between those two phrases is essentially someone trying to lose weight says, I'm on a diet. Okay. Whereas I'm a big believer when it comes to nutrition, none of you guys are on diets. None of you guys are on diets. Yes, you might be in a calorie deficit or a calorie surplus, but you're not on a diet. Okay. I talk often about understanding old normal versus new normal. What we're trying to recreate for you guys with the foods that you eat and the consistencies that we instill in you is a new normal. Okay. And making sure that this is what you do forever. It's not a 12-week thing, because for me, a 12-week diet has a cutoff point and then people go back to perceivably eating as normal, whereas what we're creating is a new way of life. And kind of just making sure kind of you understand, and that kind of identity element to it is, this is how I live, this is me from now. And you're not on a diet. We don't want to make it restrictive, because anything restrictive has an end date. And typically, well, I always say to my guys, you see people go into what I call fuck it mode, where they essentially just kind of fall off a wagon and go back to doing things normal. But we're trying to slowly but surely indoctrinate and kind of create a new normal where this is what you do all the time. It's a non-negotiable, and it's what you do to fuel your body for the best, to be the best version of yourself you can. Okay. And the last point on that slide is essentially kind of one requires motivation, which under times of very undue stress is going to wilt, whereas the other requires standards. And what I want every single one of you guys to take away from this is, travel isn't an excuse. Okay. It's not a kind of limiter. Okay. It's an opportunity for you to live better and kind of hold yourself to higher account, and just make sure that you guys live up to a standard that is acceptable to yourselves, not to your coaches, to yourselves, because that's going to be massively important. And another point on this while I'm here is just remember as well, guys, kind of your body's not built by one meals, two meals, five meals, a 5-day week. Your body's built by thousands of meals, thousands of workouts, thousands, if not millions of decisions. Okay. Not one weekend, not one vacation, not one business trip. Okay. So remember that. So things do go awry and things are less than perfect. Don't beat yourself up about it. Shit happens. Okay. It's your response to it that is most important. We don't let it to compound. But speaking to a lot of you guys and knowing a lot of you guys personally, kind of you hold yourselves to a higher standard, which is a most important thing. So for me, understanding that kind of psychology plays a big part, but most importantly, kind of give yourself a grace when things don't go to plan, but always have a plan. That's going to be the most important thing. So for me, you know, I like to finish off the slides with a little bit of a challenge, okay, or a final challenge. So I would say kind of start off by writing down the three habits you refuse to abandon, regardless of where you are in the world. So whether that's airports, hotels, holidays, family events, work travel. Okay, because in my experience, the men that succeed long-term aren't the most disciplined. They're the one that maintains standards when circumstances change. I will openly admit, I'm a creature of habit. I struggle very much when I travel. I'm not the best traveler in regards to when I'm in a different environment. I'm a creature of comfort, but I have a set of habits that kind of I stick to in regards to how I start the day, kind of how I finish the day are two of my big ones. Obviously, training is a big one for me, but then my makeup during the day of nutrition and hydration is another one. So they're mainly my three, and they help regulate me because I feel very dysregulated when traveling. I don't find traveling easy, and Greg and Gav will laugh because kind of I know kind of the first day I'm a bit of a grumpy bum because I'm not comfortable being out of my own environment. So for yourselves, write down the three habits that you refuse to abandon. Okay, so just making sure when you leave home, guys, your standards don't leave with you. Don't stay at home. They come with you. And it's important, kind of hold yourself to account no matter where you are. We don't want no excuses. Mistakes happen, but no excuses. Take responsibility of ownership of everything that happens. And most importantly, when you're traveling, have an action plan. And this is going to be subjective to you as an individual because you know what you like, but have a few of the things that we've mentioned already today kind of at hand to make sure that you give you the give yourself the best opportunity to succeed. Take a breath, Dan. Okay, so that's the slide for today, guys. So I'm going to open the floor, as always, to any questions. Okay, so any of you guys that want to unmute yourself and ask any questions off the back of that, please do, because I'm starting to lose my voice now. Please do shout up. How was that for everyone? Has anybody got any questions? No? I love it when you don't ask questions because it makes me feel like I've done a really good job, like I've explained everything to an entirety. But I know there's one or two of you sat here thinking, Dan don't make no sense. I can't understand his British. Well, TK understands my British drawl, to be honest, but he's probably the only one that does. But no, hopefully that made sense, guys. And as I said, the biggest thing for me around travel is nothing changes. The only thing that changes is location. Your set of standards and kind of what you hold yourself accountable to stays with you. So for me, it's very much the psychological realm that people struggle with because that, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to. But like with everything that we do, plan, prepare. When you are traveling, you all know where you're going. So do a little bit, I call it a recce. Do a little recce before you go. Know what's around you. Know what hotel you're staying at. Pre-purposely pick a hotel that serves your goal, that has a gym in. Kind of those you know that know me, that when I travel, I don't stay in any hotel that I've not checked out the gym, either on photos or on the website before I go. If not, I'll find a gym, but primarily kind of having a gym readily available for me is super important because it's how I start my day. And then kind of the food kind of comes secondary to that. But yeah, I think kind of for you guys, it's just knowing that people always put massive emphasis, I'm traveling, so this changes. Well, it only changes if you want to change it, because if your standards are the same, you know exactly what you're doing. But most importantly, prepare. Preparation is always going to be king, and never leave anything to chance. And we live in a world nowadays where everything's readily available. The internet, kind of looking at the hotel and all the amenities before you even book a hotel, they're all available. So again, give yourself a little recce, set yourself up for success. Use AI to your advantage, and just put yourself into a position where you have a process ready to go and have a skeleton ready. Things might not go linear, but at least go with a plan. Go without a plan and just kind of hoping for the best when you go and leaning into the discipline. As I've said to you, stress ramps up. Discipline is the first thing to go, and it's harder to lean into. But I hope you guys have found that of value. As always, thank you very much for taking an hour of your day today to listen to me. And for those of you guys that are going to be listening to this on repeat, as always, if you have any questions, please just drop me a message or kind of shout up in the group. Let me know your thoughts. And if you've got any particular examples where you may need a little bit of advice, a little bit of help, please do messages in the WhatsApp group and I'll get an answer to you guys. But as always, an absolute pleasure spending an hour with you boys. I hope you all have a fantastic day. evening as well for TK. And I'll speak to you later, my friends.
Hey, brother, can you hang on for just 1 second?
Yeah, go
somebody
on.
Somebody wanted to see you.
Hello, you. How are you? You okay? Are you making sure your dad is being good? Are you still keeping an eye on him for me? I told you, you're my eyes when I'm not there, you know, Piper. So when I'm not there, you've got to keep your eyes on him. And if not, you'll have to phone me so I can shout at him if he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Nice to see you.
Hey, I appreciate it, brother. And I honestly, I wish I had questions, but you were great, dude. I'm telling you two things.
Josh, just because we're on this call, don't lie. I know I'm going to put this phone down. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. I'm going to have a message as long as my phone with questions. So let's not kid everybody on this call, brother. You're not got any right now, but give yourself 15 minutes and I'm going to have a list as long as my arm when I wake up tomorrow morning, right? But I look forward to them anyway.
I appreciate
you all, brother. Have a great evening, guys.
All right, man. Thanks, bro. Thanks for staying up late for us.
Take care, guys.
No worries. Pleasure. Take care. Bye bye.